All right, and welcome back to Perception Check. I'm here with Josh.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to be doing Erebus's backstory. A little bit of character building for his character. Why don't you tell me a little bit about Erebus? Like, how did he get started?
So Erebus was originally a hearty sailor. He was a pirate, essentially, and grew up in the pirate life. It's definitely the pirate's life for me. My dad and my brother are both pirates, and I grew up on a ship, and that was my whole life. I grew up, from a very young age, I was on a ship doing something. I was scrubbing the deck or helping to cook or whatever else that I could do to be around the ocean and be around my family and learn about all of the cool stuff that they get to do as pirates.
Yeah.
So
nice. So kind of like what I told Chris at the beginning of his and what I'm going to tell everyone at the beginning of theirs. I did not create your backstory. I got a deal of info from you guys about what you gave me and what your personal character story is. My job in exploring these and giving it some depth is just to add a little bit of extra flavor to it. Give it a little bit more depth and have you experience something like you're experiencing it new at that time.
Sweet.
So that's what I'm trying to do here.
I had a lot of fun adding in bits and pieces to this, so yeah. I'm excited to see how it goes.
Cool, yeah. So it should get pretty interesting. Okay. So we shall begin.
Okay.
Erebus. You see a ship's helm. You're basically eye to eye with the center of it, so you're a little low to the ground. And you hear a gruff voice behind you that says, "A slight turn left, boy." And you look up over your shoulder at your dad's face. He looks down and he smiles at you. You turn back and you see your brother. He's adjusting the sails. There is a large crew swabbing the deck and going about. It's normal ship maintenance. What is the age difference between you and your brother?
5 years.
5 years? You're the
youngest. I'm the younger one. Yep.
So you're on the ship as a child. What's something that you would do?
For the majority, I'd be mainly below deck, just because, it is a pirate ship.
Yeah.
So there's always the danger of, someone attacking the ship or us attacking someone else or something like that. So, I loved being at the helm. It was a blast. And anytime that my dad let me be up there, I was always just itching to get at the helm. I did a lot of maintenance on the ship. So we did, you've got to do like the recoating with tar and everything to keep the ship, being a ship.
Yeah, and not just falling apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Always a good idea.
And then I was also I was a prep cook essentially. So I was cutting potatoes and slicing onions and whatever else I could do.
So we'll say from here, your mother kind of peeks up and she kind of goes, "Erebus, why don't you come down and help me cook?" At that point, you snap out of it. You are your current age. You are tightening the cones on your current ship, and you realize you're kind of spacing out, and you look back at the captain's cabin. You know he was wanting to talk to you, but he was with someone at the moment, and from experience, you know better than to interrupt. How's your relationship with the captain?
Wonderful. We are... It started out a little rough. I came to him fairly young, fairly full of myself, which I think I still probably am. Our relationship has been great up until now.
All right. You move over to the side of the ship and you start checking out the You're going to have to help me with some of the ship terms. But the little boat that they drop down into the water, like the little rowboat to help go on to land when they park their ship. Yeah, lifeboat. Your dinghy or your dinghy. Skiff.
Yeah. My dad was always like, hey, quit playing with your dinghy.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Boy reference.
Yeah, that was nice. So you start kind of working on that, and your mind starts to wander again. And you can see yourself a little bit older than the last time you were spacing out. And you were halfway lowered while the ship was sailing on this, and you're tossing fish off of the skiff into the water because there's a pod of dolphins following. Your father looks over at the edge and says, Erebus, if you put as much time into the ship as your brother, you would be in the first wave of the raid party. He winds up the boat and brings you back up towards the deck, and he says, dolphins, they used to be your mom's favorite. And he says, all right, now, come on, this island is going to bring us enough coin to have a set for a month.
Okay.
And snap out of it again because you hear your name. Erebus, a spindly pirate named Toombs, snaps you out of your kind of current train of thought. And he says, the captain wants to see you. So, what do you do?
I walk over to the captain's cabin and knock on the door.
Okay. You knock on the door and he goes, get in here.
What's going on?
He goes, Erebus, have a seat.
Okay.
When we pillaged that town last week and you brought that old busted sword, didn't I tell you to leave it and use your time for shit we can sell?
Yeah, but I thought it would be a good use of my time to...
He goes, Tombs found it yesterday in your bedroll. Looks like you've been using your time on my ship to polish it up.
Well, I thought I could polish it up. I mean, it looks like a well-crafted sword.
At this
sword.
Point in time, you can see he starts smiling.
What did I do this time?
And he goes, look, I took that sword to Carno, our fence, and he said we could get a pretty damn good price for it. And he's like, apparently, some sort of heirloom, so honestly, good call. I'm just busting your chops.
Good. Well, I'll keep polishing away then.
He's like, yeah, go ahead and into your bedroom and polish away. he said, I just talked to Toombs and told him to stay the fuck out of your stuff.
Well, good. Yeah, that little fucker should stay out of my stuff.
Yep. He decides to pour you some ale, and you guys start chatting and getting drunk, and you start sharing a lot of those did-I-ever-tell-you stories in kind of a competition way of, this one's better. One time I did, blah, 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 blah. You also talk about... the different fights you've had. You've gotten into a couple brawls with your captain.
A few. Yeah.
It's come tussled. It's come to blows. You know that he has a great respect for you and your father, and he says if he and your brother could see you right now, they'd be very proud.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you.
Yeah. So what happened to the relationship? What caused you to branch out from your father and your brother and their shipping ways?
I wanted to do more exploring, less pillaging, and really find my way in the world and make my way in the world, and you know, not just stealing for everything that I had, but you know, finding something new and selling the information for that to you know whoever would buy it, building maps and you know, exploring islands and finding caves and. You know, really diving deep into, you know, what was around the world and not what I could steal from the world.
Yeah. You're kind of still kind of chatting in this cabin and getting along, and the captain kind of coughs and he's like, this blasted thing won't go, it's been weeks. And he kind of coughs again. And he's like, listen, we got a lot of stuff to plan, a lot of things going forward. Why don't you, get to sleep, and we'll be planning our next raid tomorrow. And he kind of dismisses you from his cabin.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go to bed.
I usually walk around the ship for a bit.
Okay.
Make sure everything's battened down, tied down, everything's correct. You know, I mean, as the first mate for the ship, it's not only my job to be a sailor, but also to make sure that... Everything is going smoothly and correctly, above and beyond what the captain sees. So. Yeah.
So you go around, you're kind of looking at how things are laid out, which it's pretty regimented. Your captain really holds a pretty tight grip on the ship.
Yeah.
So go ahead and roll a perception check.
Nat 20.
Okay. You kind of walk by and you notice that there are a couple things missing, like maybe the area where you had some of like the bags to hold different items, whatever you may need. There's an area where it's kind of like storage and there's some bags and it doesn't look quite as full as you thought it was. So it's something that kind of probably put in the back of your mind to bring up at a later time.
Okay.
All right, so we'll say that you go ahead, go to sleep. Everything else kind of checks out. There's just that one weird kind of anomaly. You go to bed, but you wake up with a start because someone is putting a bag on your head. And you feel multiple arms dragging you up to the deck of the ship. The bag comes off, and you see Tombs, as well as two other pirates. They're on the deck, and Tombs is furious. And he's like, look, you are so babied by this captain. You're definitely the favorite. He's like, we're going to stop this now. And he takes out a sword, so roll for initiative.
We'll do this.
Okay, so you are first.
So are they holding me, or?
Not anymore. They kind of, like, shoved you out and removed the bag, and they're, like, Tombs wants a piece of you, basically. In a bad way.
Well, let's, do I have my swords?
Yep, you have all your normal weapons. It's just, dude wants a brawl.
Let's fucking go, then.
Okay.
I just kind of smirk and blow a little puff of cold out of my mouth and draw my swords.
All right.
So,
you're first on initiative, so you attack him with swords?
Yeah.
Battle music.
We'll say they are like so, and you are like so.
So is, what's the spacing?
Tombs, each square is 10 feet. So if you move 30, then you're right on them.
Okay. So, but are they that far spread out?
We'll say it's probably more like this. They're kind of back there, like...
So they're just, like, okay, they're just being dumbasses. Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and use Cone of Cold and hit all three of them.
Okay. So, you use Cone of Cold.
I'm just going to walk up, like, directly to him, because it's a 15-foot cone.
Okay.
So I'm just going to walk up, like, face-to-face with him and just blast them.
Okay, you're going to blast him in the face. So, Cone of Cold, what does that do?
2d6 damage.
Okay.
Dex save for half damage.
Okay, we'll do dex saves, and they, none of them.
Okay. I don't even need to do that.
No, it's an automatic.
So it just hits. So it's, did I say 2d6? Yeah. So 4, so 9 damage.
9 damage. Okay, so you blast this cone and you hit all three, and the two guys in the back just topple. And they get pushed back a little bit, and they are a little bluish from the cold. Tombs is looking bloodied already. I mean, he's got a cone of cold in the face.
Do you really want to continue this, or do you want to stop this before you die like the other two?
And he looks at you and goes, fuck you. And he takes out his rapier and goes to hit, and that'll be that'll be a 20. And, that's a D8, correct?
Rapier is D8, yeah.
Okay. 6, 7, 8. He does 8 damage to you. And he makes a thrusting motion and kind of catches you kind of on the side. Gets a little bit of side meat, but nothing too bad.
Yeah.
And now it's back to your turn.
Okay. So I'm going to... I'm going to lunge.
Okay.
So, 19...
And that'll do it.
I would hope so.
Tombs is wearing a stone wall as armor.
And I'm going to hit with both. So that would be 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then D8. So 2 and 4 and then plus 6.
Yep.
So 12 damage.
12 damage. You lunge.
So I just
destroy him, basically.
Okay. So I'm going to stab him, like, crossways.
Okay.
And then just kind of pick him up.
Okay.
And just toss him over the ship.
Okay. He makes a very nice loud splash. What'd you do with the other two? They're basically unconscious.
They're fine. They can just sit there in the cold.
They're probably too dumb to try to rise up to any sort of thing. So that's probably a good call. Okay, well, you made very, very quick work of Tombs. We fast forward from this point.
Yep.
Okay. It's been about 4 months. You guys have had some pretty successful raids. Not a lot of casualties. Of course, there's guards. There's always guards that you run into, and you have to dispatch them.
Although we do try to just knock them out instead of kill them.
Yeah. But, you know, you can't always knock them out.
No, you can't. Sometimes they fight tooth and nail, and you just got to kill them, motherfucker. You know?
Yep. Yep, exactly. And that's kind of what's come of it. You got a lot of story building about your ship and the people on it. You especially, because you've kind of been leading these raids. So you've kind of established this name, the Reaper, from people in towns. Because they know you as a very, very good swordsman. The captain, though, over this time, who kept just an eagle eye on all the workings of the ship, passed a little bit heavier role onto you for a couple months. He was staying in his cabin a little bit more. He would still hold meetings and kind of come out and speak because you were kind of handling all the other pieces, steering the ship, doing all that. And it was just kind of the idea that, like, the captain is just super busy, which is a lie because you knew what was going on. He's very,
very sick. Very, very sick.
There's been kind of some murmurings, but any murmurings that you caught wind of, you quickly silenced them.
Squashed.
Yeah. Whether words or fist. Those rumors were stopped.
There was always lots of both on the ship.
Yeah. He started growing weaker and weaker, but you would have nightly meets with him just to kind of give him an update on the ship and what was going on. Your friend, a shipmate, friend of yours, named Dread Vox, comes to you. And he says, Erebus, the men and I have been talking. What's happening with the captain?
He's letting me take a little bit more reins on the ship, trying to, I'm looking to possibly venture out, and get my own ship.
Oh.
So he's just letting me, you know, run it, and, you know, he's watching closely to make sure that I'm not, you know, screwing anything up, basically. As he always does. And, yeah.
He goes, oh, okay. And he looks at you right in the eyes, and he's just like, I'll be sure to let everyone know.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And he walks off, and it's about time at this point in time for you to go and have your nightly meeting with the captain. And you go inside, and he's laying on his bed. He looks pale, and he looks feverish. He smiles kind of weakly at you and calls you over. And he goes, Erebus, how do we look going into this next mission?
We're a little light on crew, but I think it's doable.
He's like, good. I'm afraid I won't be around to see it through. And then he starts coughing.
Do you think you're really that bad off?
And he's like, I do. But, you know, any smart pirate would already have a plan in place to kill me. He's like, I know I would. He's like, well, I have. And he kind of laughs and then starts coughing again. And his face grows really serious as he kind of looks at you and he says, none of them are ready. He's like, or deserving. He's like, may my ship dwell in the bottom of the ocean than anyone else taking the helm. I mean, they're too big of fools to be captain. They are not strong enough. And he's like, but I believe you are.
Yeah, but that requires a sacrifice on my part that I don't know that I can do.
He kind of nods his head and he goes, here, take this. And he holds out a hand. And do you hold out your hand?
I put my hand out.
Okay. Out of it drops a ring. And he says, 8 generations on this ship, 8 different captains, including me. You will be 9. This ring signifies your ownership of this vessel. Now, there's only one way to make it official. I will not wither and end my existence in this much pain. And he's like, so I need you to kill me.
All right.
And he...
I will make it as quick as I can, I promise you that.
He looks at you and he says, I appreciate that. And then he kind of smiles and he goes, Captain Erebus.
That's still not a name I'd like to keep for the moment.
So
I pull out my dagger and... Mm. I say, go well, my friend. I will see you one day on the other side. And you better save me a round of ale.
Nice.
And I stab him just straight in the heart, so it's quick.
Yeah. You you see his eyes grow wide and glaze over. A small grin leaves his lips. And the captain dies. 3 successful raids later, and your name as the Reaper grows. You take over as captain of this ship. You break the news to everyone. They are not super surprised by the event. They knew that you were definitely next in line if anything happened. And the murmurings were constant enough, even though they tried to keep it down, that it wasn't a huge shocker of what was going on. You could tell attitudes were kind of there with some of the shipmates. But that's to be expected with a new captain taking over.
Of course.
But you've had 3 very, very successful raids throughout this point in time of being captain, in actually a pretty short amount of time. Your men, they follow you, and you bring them success. Gold threatens to capsize your vessel at some points, but this next raid that you have planned is huge. You are planning to hit the large residential area just outside of the Gold Post capital, one of these connected parts of the Kingdom of Sorum. This island is only for the wealthy and ruled by King Toril Sorum the 15th. Now, you have had run-ins with this guy before. He's a bit of a dick. Obviously, being a king on one of the most wealthy islands, it's going to be a hot spot for people trying to come in and take over parts.
Well, yeah, you can't hold gold forever.
Nope, not really. Now, you plan this out and you actually make a couple of contacts at this point in time. And it all kind of comes together and you are on the kind of the outreaches of this island. And you are in position to start your raid. There are 2 watchtowers on the beach where you have looked at with a few other people and strategized that this is the best entry point. There are 2 watchtowers, an archer in each one. Each of them have a horn that they can blow to alert more guards.
Okay.
I'm
assuming that we're flying white flags, white sails at this point coming into this?
Sure. You're not really seeing. Your ships are a little bit farther off in the distance. Okay. This is like a pitch black night.
Okay.
You have 8 boats. There's 5 men in each of them, so you have about 40 men in this raid party.
Okay.
To ensure success, that favor you called in was from an old friend. His name is Wretch Irontail, and he's a tiefling pirate who worked with your father on occasion and was a good friend to you. Okay. He knew you growing up and that you were going out on your own, and he totally supported it. He was the one that actually told you of this entrance. And he told you that there is 1 other one towards another side, but it's closer to the guards' quarters, While this one is a little less watched because it's a little rocky, a little bit harder to get into.
Okay.
How do you proceed? I'll tell you real quick. You have notable crew members from your team. There's Yorma, who is a female human whose skills with the sword almost matches your own. She's okay. Very skilled. Dredd, your old friend, who has gotten probably a little more distant since you became captain. There is a shipmate named Oddly, who is a complete loyal follower. He believes in everything you're doing and the success that you're bringing. But he is also a master improvisationalist.
Okay.
And then there's Willett, who is a dwarven wizard. So how do you kind of want to go about this? So right now you have two archer guards up in watchtowers on a beachfront that kind of leads up off of a sandy bank into a residential part with really wealthy houses.
Okay, so now can we get close enough to actually get on the beach without being seen, or...?
Yes. You would have to take some small boats. You each are in kind of like these small boats, so you'd have to kind of navigate up without being seen. So think about how you'd be able to approach this. In this opening of this beach, there are walls kind of surrounding this island, but this is just kind of an open area. It's not super long. It's okay. Pretty enclosed. Okay. But the rest of it's kind of blocked off. There's just this one funneled entryway.
Okay, and what's the distance from the beach to the towers?
The beach to the towers? The towers are right next to the water, and okay. They are about 30 feet up.
So
there are ladders on the outside going up.
Easy enough for an archer to pick off the archer up top.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to kind of split and then come around basically like on the sides. Mm-hmm. You said there's walls.
Yeah, there's walls surrounding this island, but there's a couple big openings for this beach.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll kind of come in and park at like the edges of the beach.
Okay.
And, send our best archers and two per tower, and just at the same time just nail them.
Okay, so they're sneaking up to the tower or shooting down from below up at the archers?
They're just shooting the archers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit from a distance.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to give them... Woo! That slid. Ooh, that still wasn't good, but I think that other one probably did it. That was like a 10, and with the archers I had in mind. Yeah, okay, so that definitely hit. They go out, and they kind of collapse in their towers.
Okay.
So how do you guys proceed? The watchtowers are done.
So we're going to sneak up. You said there's like a rock face, basically. Mm. It's like we need to climb, essentially.
There isn't a big rock face. It's more kind of like jagged rocks sticking out of the water.
Okay.
So that's why it's so not quite as manned, because if anything came through, they'd probably be able to spot it very quickly.
Okay.
But you are all very seasoned on the sea, so you're able to kind of navigate along the sides and come in.
Okay.
So it's like a beach that goes up. You know, like how on boardwalks the beach goes all the way up to kind of like a walkway?
Yeah.
And then there's just like a residential, like wealthy houses.
So we're going to stay on the sides and just kind of sneak around and meet in the middle.
Okay. So you start making your way up the beach, down here, and you're kind of coordinating your efforts and kind of serpentining through to kind of meet in the middle of this residential area. And you kind of get through. Okay. And a patrolling guard kind of walks by and goes,
"Ah! Help! Help! Alarm!"
No alarm goes off. But you can see quite a few guards kind of from a distance holding torches kind of starting to run out. It looks like there's a light patrol in the area.
Okay.
So you are kind of standing in the center. And there's some people kind of walking around through the streets, too. Just a few stragglers. But as soon as a ruckus kind of starts, you can see candles being lit in windows. And it becomes a little bit more chaotic. Okay. So what do you guys do?
Well, boys, it looks like it's time to have a little fun. And look at that. They even lit some lights for us.
All right. So you guys are just going in and raiding, wrecking shop.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if the guard's already been called... There's not really any point in having a light foot at this point. So
they didn't have the horns or anything, so you're not getting like the full battalion. You're just getting a couple streetwalkers. Streetwalkers. Not those. So, all right. So
sounds like my kind of party.
You kind of go down one street and take a right, and you come across two guards. Go ahead and roll for initiative.
Okay. Oh, I've got a pen because I just got scratch perfect. Paper, so you're good.
So the first guard right here, he is going to attack you with his short sword. So that is 14?
Nope.
14?
So I'm going to riposte.
Okay. So riposte. He misses, and then you...
So I can deal superiority die damage back. So I'm going to do 4 damage back.
Okay, 4 damage back.
So he swings, and I just kind of like... I'm holding my swords kind of like this. So I've got one down and one up, and I just kind of slash.
Okay. And that was 4 damage?
Yep. Because I don't add my attack modifier to that, right? It's just...
No.
Okay. It's just superiority die damage.
Think so. We'll roll with it. Yeah. Okay. So then now it's your official turn.
Okay. So he's still standing next to me. How's he looking?
He is damaged, but not bloody. They don't have a ton of health, though.
Okay. I'm gonna do something kind of fun, hopefully. So I guess this would technically be an unarmed attack. So I'm gonna hit him with my tail and try to sweep his legs out.
Okay.
And then I'm going to put my sword on the ground and let him fall on the edge of my sword and try to just cut his head off.
Okay, well, let's see what happens there.
So, 19? Or, no.
That's a 16, but what's your...
My attack modifier would be +4, so 20.
All right, yeah, you do this awesome tail sweep and turn around with your sword and put it up, and he falls and his head goes off. There goes... One of them, yeah, that really non-violent thing is really showing up in your character.
I didn't say it was always non-violent. It's a bad day, okay?
There goes one of them. All right, the other one I would say is understandably horrified. It is now going to be his
turn. Run and hide, my friend. Run and hide.
He's going to try to attack you with his short sword. 14?
Nope.
Nope, damn it, he misses too.
So, I'm not going to...
Well, it kicks over to you.
I've got 4. Yeah, I might as well just attack. No.
2. Okay, you miss. He...
second hand. Still miss.
Yeah.
That's a 9.
Yeah. What's your addition to your attack, though?
At this, I think it's 4. I don't even have weapons in here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you... you miss. Go ahead and add a rapier. So you miss, and he ducks out of the way, and he's...
+6, so it'd be 15.
Oh, shit, well, that hits, yeah.
Okay.
It's right on it. Never mind. He feels confident for about half a second. And then he feels real bad.
So 5 damage.
5 damage, okay.
I suppose it'd help if I actually had my correct stats in here.
That's okay. I'm making you backtrack. Okay, so you hit him. He is looking pretty bad shape. But he's going to come back at you with the short sword. 19, 21.
Yep, that'll hit.
Yep. And he is going to swipe at you with his short sword, and he's going to do 6 damage.
Okay.
And he's like, "You foul beast!" as he hits you.
Okay.
Your turn.
I need my d20 back.
Oh. Oh, did I roll yours?
Yeah.
Yours is rolling better than mine.
It is rolling way better than yours. 18.
18? Yo.
Okay. And that's 10.
10?
With 1.
You strike him down.
Oh, okay.
You strike him down. He goes down. And you have your way paved in front of you. So what are you doing? Are you... going through, digging into these houses?
I'm going to go towards the biggest house I can see. Let them deal with the smaller ones.
Okay. You go towards one of the larger ones. It looks like it's already been evacuated. You see lots of silver dinnerware.
Not what I'm looking for.
You keep kind of going around. Go ahead and roll a d20 to an investigation. You don't find anything worthy of a lot of attention, just kind of some silver. Go out of the house, and there's actually another guard there who's looking really brave. We'll do this. This will be fun.
He, I roll for intimidation.
Yeah, go for it.
That would be 14.
14? Yeah. What do you do?
I pull out the one that I used to cut the guy's head off that's still soaked in blood, and I go, I think there's already enough blood on this sword for tonight, don't you?
And he's like, yes, and he turns and runs away. Okay. And he drops his sword. So he takes off.
I'm going to pick up his sword and throw it on my back.
Okay, so you got like a short sword with you now. Okay, so you keep going, and as you're going through, you're seeing a lot of your crew fighting different guards, and you see Dredd, who's kind of grabbed onto a woman's shirt, and he's kind of like shaking her, trying to get money from her. And you see a couple more people running into houses and like coming out with a couple people are carrying a chest and running down to the ships and stuff. So it looks like everything's going actually really well. There's some fires that have started. It's turning into quite a bit of chaos.
Okay.
So as you're walking back down, is there anything you want to do from...
Dredd, stop shaking that woman.
And he's like, what? We're trying to get money, aren't we?
Yeah, but not... I mean, look at her. She's terrified. What could she possibly have that you couldn't find in her house?
And he just kind of like shoves her to the ground, and he's like, fine. And he goes and he starts going into a house and looking in there. As you're walking back down, you see a house. It's not as big as the other one that you were looking through, but this has a beautiful, ornate, wooden carved door.
Okay.
It looks like a house that probably belongs to someone who's wealthy or an extremely good woodworker, which would also mean that they're probably pretty wealthy.
Okay. So I'm not going to destroy the door. I'm going to use that short sword and stick it between, I'm assuming it's probably a double door like most were, and just pop the lock like that.
You pop the locks and you go inside. You are looking around. Go ahead and do an investigation check.
Critical
miss. Critical miss. You don't see anything that looks that great. You see chairs that are really, really well made, well crafted. Lots of really nice furniture, but nothing really out in the open. So as you turn to... As you turn to leave... a man jumps out of a closet, and he's holding a hammer. And he goes to take a swing at you, and he misses you. He's wearing, like, an apron. And he misses you, and he's like, ah, damn it! And he turns around, and he's bringing it up like he's going to hit you again.
I'm going to try to do intimidation again.
Okay.
15.
That one's going to fail.
Okay.
Still recording. Still good. Okay. So what would you like to try? Anything else? Or I'm still giving you an action if you'd like.
Yeah, I guess. You know what? I'm just going to talk to him.
Okay. What are you going to say?
Listen. There's a lot of beautiful things in here, and I'd rather not smash them all.
14 doesn't hit.
No.
But he swings at you again and misses.
So I dodge again and... Mm. Listen. I will leave your house be. It doesn't look like you have anything of real value to me. But... I love what you've done with the place, by the way. Let's not make more of a mess of this than we need to.
He jumps on you. He jumps on you and he tries wrapping his arms around your back, and he's trying to like clamber on you. So what do? Do you just kind of try to like toss him off?
Yeah. Would that just be like a strength save?
Or? I think depending on what he rolled for his like athletics move there, I think it's pretty easy just to kind of shrug him off. Okay. But you shrug him off and he kind of goes and he falls and lands against the kitchen counter where there were some cooking utensils and one seems to have stabbed him on his side. And so he kind of falls. It's not nothing like fatal, but there is a bit of blood coming out at this point.
Okay.
And a woman comes out of the closet too, and she's like, "Please, please, just please, we'll give you whatever you want. Just please, don't kill my husband,
ma'am. I'm not here to kill. I'm merely here to pad my pocket a bit."
And she's like, "Well, what can I give you to get you to leave?
What can I see anything of value around? No."
No, you don't see anything.
What do you have that you think would make me leave?
She's like, I have gold. Just please, anything for my husband's life. And she goes over to a closet and she's digging through a couple of jars. And from the closet, you can also kind of start to hear some crying of a child. And she pulls some things out of the tin, and it's a bag of about 2,000 gold that she hands you, and she's like, "These are our savings. Please, just take it and go."
I'd really rather not take your gold. Do you have anything else? Does your husband have weapons or magical items or anything of the sort?
She's like, "Well, no. You don't want gold?
Not you have children."
And she's like, "Oh, well, I'm sorry. We don't have any magic weapons or anything. Do you have... You wouldn't happen to have anything to help my husband, would you?"
I go over and just breathe a little puff of frozen air, and I freeze the wound shut so it's not bleeding anymore.
Roll a perception check.
18 plus... so 20.
Okay, you do this, and she actually gets a little bit of a smile on her face. She's very grateful for this. And as you stand up after doing it, you see a flash of someone that looked like Dredd kind of watching through a window. And he is making his way back down towards the beach.
That bastard.
So this accent, this is new.
Yeah, I know.
I like it.
I've been playing with a few different ones. I've been listening to way too many podcasts.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm digging it. I was the only one doing character voices, so it's fun hearing someone else do it.
Well, like, as I've been writing more, this is completely off track, but as I've been writing more, I'm thinking, like, fuck, all of my characters are going to sound exactly like, this is so dumb. I've got to come up with something so at least I can add, like, some inflection or something on some of these characters.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to leave them their gold, and I'm just going to head back outside.
Okay. So you leave, and you go back out, and it looks like everything's kind of calming down, and your crew's trying to get back to the ship. They got a crazy load of gold. And just other kind of goods to kind of fund your ways. You get back on the ship, you talk to Wretch, and you kind of do a split of the goods that you've collected, and you both kind of go your own way. You sail on that night, and you go to the captain's quarters where you go to sleep, and you feel like maybe you heard perhaps some chatting or something out on the deck, but it seemed way too late for anything like that to be going on. So you just kind of ignored it as you sailed off with your haul.
Okay.
That morning you wake up and you look out of your little cabin window and you see an island. Not where you were intending to go. It's a pretty vast island, but you can still see the edges. It's a small island, but not like one of those cartoon islands with one palm tree sticking off of it. So it looks like, you know, there could be some inhabitants on it and something like that.
Okay.
So you're by this island, and you wake up and you see this. What do you do?
I get dressed and go up above.
Okay. You go up above and you go out onto the deck, and you see your crew standing in about a half circle, like they're waiting for you, and Dredd is standing in the center of it. And you hear Dredd say, "Captain, we demand your ear." And the crowd yells, "Yah!" And he says, "By cause of betrayal of the pirate's way, we need answers, you weak pile of filth."
I don't know that I would call me weak, boy, but what answers do you want?
He says, "I saw you. A man attacked you, and you spared him? Spared his wife? You took no money? I thought you had a backbone. I thought a strong leader was required. How do we know he won't look for revenge? Alert the island and rally a posse. We are strong, but we are not stupid. If they sense we are weak, they could come for us. I declare a mutiny." And everyone cheers, and about four people from your crew come on either side and grab you and restrain you. What would you like to say?
Listen, when a child comes at you with a fist or a stick, you don't simply kill it. I saw a merchant, not a fighter, with a hammer, not a sword, and he didn't hit me once. So for you to sit there and call me weak, I think you are weak of mind to think that you need to just slay everything that gets in your path, rather than building not only a powerful name, but a merciful name for yourself as a captain.
Dredd looks at you and he goes, "Bullshit." And then out of nowhere, Oddly comes out of the crowd and he goes, "Back off, Dredd. We do what we can to get what we need. This has never been a ship out for blood." And Dredd says, "It can be." He's like, "This was a good haul, but I can get more. I can promise you more witches, more women, more money, and no mercy." He's like, "Why let people give it to us? Why let these people go when we could just take by any means? That was a flawless plan. I give you that. But we could have done so much more if we just unleash the power that I know we have.
But our raids are quick and precise. They're not boastful and arrogant. They are quick, precise. We grab what we want, what we need, what is valuable, and we leave before the main guard is called. We have roughly 40 crew members here, correct? Am I correct in my head count?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't possibly think that 40 of us can take on a full city guard of 500 or more. That, boy, is arrogance.
He looks at the crowd and he goes, "It sounds like the captain doubts even his own capabilities. And he doubts you." And Oddly speaks up again and goes, "This is treason, you piece of shit." And Dredd looks at him and he goes, "This is a business decision." And a group grabs and contains Oddly. Dredd starts up again, playing to the crowd, and he goes, "I should have been captain. I can bring unlimited bounty. I can't," and a sword shows up next to Dredd's neck. An older pirate, you know him as Gordo, he's been on the ship for a very, very long time, he kind of says, "You ain't killing anyone today, Dredd. Erebus is captain. You are not." He bears the ring. And another pirate jumps out and kind of stabs Gordo in the leg, knocking him to the ground. And Dredd says, "Fuck the ring. I hold the gold. I hold the helm." And a fight kind of breaks out, and you see Willett the dwarf come through, and he's like, "There's nothing we need to fight about. Dredd is right. We will leave Erebus to die on this island. I would like to push him off." And he comes up behind you, and he kind of grabs you by the shoulders and starts marching you forward. And he whispers to you, and he goes, "Hold on, I'll untie you."
Okay.
And he kind of starts to undo your restraints that they've kind of put on you and kind of wrapped you up just to make sure you couldn't really go anywhere. And Yorma comes up and stabs Willett. And knocks him off the thing.
She was my charge!
And during the scuffle of her taking him out, they knock you off the ship and you fall into the water. You're about 200 feet out from the island. And you splash, but he loosened him enough to where you can kind of get your arms around you where you're in the water. They also throw off Audley and Gordo, and the body of Willett's floating there next to you. You can kind of hear the splashes while you're under, and when you come up, you see Audley and Gordo. And it looks like they threw off someone else, a young boy named Knott, who helps maintain the ship. He's kind of a young ward. And also the grandson of Gordo.
Okay.
You all are able to kind of compose yourself as they laugh and turn the ship and start sailing off as you guys make it safely onto the shore of the island.
Okay, and I'm going to drag Willett with me so he can have a proper burial.
Perfect. So you bring Willett, and as you kind of watch the ship sail off, you see someone, which looks like willingly runs up to the back of the ship and jumps off into the water. You can see that they're starting to swim your way.
Okay.
Did you want to help them
get
to shore? Okay, you go out and you kind of meet, and he's holding a long tube. And it's kind of a waterproof container. And he says, "Captain, I'm sorry, but I took this." His name's Slade. He says, "Captain, I'm sorry, but I took this during the mutiny. I knew something bad was going to happen. I wanted to make sure I had it." And he hands it to you.
Okay. I open it.
You open it, and inside is a slightly damp piece of paper. And on it is a beautiful painting. It is of your mother, standing on the bow of your family's ship, the Vanguard, and she's looking out to sea with a toddler looking over the side and her hand on her pregnant belly. Your father took care in every stroke of this painting. It is gorgeous. There is just so much thought in every brush stroke, and it is the closest thing to capturing your mother's beauty that you have.
Thank you.
And he goes, "No problem, sir." So, on this island, you're actually lucky enough to have Audley with you. Being a master improvisationalist, what would you like to do?
So first off, we need to bury Willett. As a pirate, he needs a water's grave. So, we'll build a, cut down some trees, build a small raft, and push him out, and let the sea have him back.
Yep. You do this, and it kind of takes off into the night, and you can kind of, you do your burial, and it's perfect, the way you guys were able to do this. But nighttime is falling, so what do you guys do next?
Set up a little camp for the night.
Okay.
Build a small fire.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing large.
Yeah.
And, set up some leaves and stuff for water.
Mm-hmm. You get all that set up, and Audley actually just goes to town working with the materials that you have there, and he actually makes a couple little tent setups.
Okay.
So he's able to construct very basic, just kind of pitch tents for you guys to get together and sleep under and kind of feel a little bit of safety.
Okay.
All right, so... you have these things set up, and it's the middle of the night, and everyone's kind of sleeping, but you kind of hear something. Something wakes you up, some rustling.
Okay. I grab my sword and pop my head out of the tent.
Okay. You pop your head out of the tent, and, you pop out of the tent and you see the tent that Slade was in is kind of rustling around, and everyone else kind of starts peeking their heads out of the tent. Gordo with his injured leg, and everyone kind of sitting there looking. And out of the tent comes a tiger holding Slade's dead body by the neck, dragging it out of the tent. And two more tigers come around the corner of his tent. Roll for initiative.
Fuck. 14.
14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you're also going to have a few buddies, but we'll deal with them.
So
14.
So what is Gordo's, or I guess it'd be not?
His grandson, not?
Yeah. How old is he?
He's like 14.
Okay. But he's wielded a blade.
Yeah.
Just not probably against another man.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what is Audley?
Audley's just a human. He helps out. He knows how to brandish a sword.
Okay. But he's not like a specific class or anything.
No.
Okay.
Tiger, and then roll for these guys. 7. Crew. Okay. Okay, so you go first in your initiative.
So I'm going to go ahead and lunge.
Okay.
Nope, not with either.
Okay, so you miss. Tigers.
9. Okay, no, I didn't.
The tigers are pretty agile. They're able to kind of jump out of the way. Audley goes next, and Audley hits one of the tigers and does 6 damage to this one.
Okay.
And then Gordo tries to stand up, but then he kind of goes, ah! Like, his wound is feeling pretty bad. And he kind of sits back down. Not strolls up, and he just kind of misses as well. The tigers kind of move out of the way. Now, the first tiger, they're going good. He's going to go after Audley, and he's going to do a claw attack. 3, and he's going to do 9 to Audley. Okay. All right, and then the second one's going to go. He's going to miss. Third one misses as well. All right, back to you. That hits.
Okay. So, yeah, 21.
Okay.
D8. So, 7 for the first swing.
This one?
I'm going to go against that one.
Okay.
17.
17?
Yep.
Okay, you kill one of the tigers. You run it through.
No. Second attack.
To hit. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We hit that one.
And then... what did I say the damage was to the first one?
7.
Okay. And then plus the lunge for the first attack.
Okay.
So that's going to be an extra 5.
Okay.
And then 17 to hit again.
That'll do it.
And then just 1.
1?
Yep.
Okay.
So 5, 7, 1. This
tiger's looking really bad.
Okay.
Okay, so then it's going to go, back over to Audley. And he's not going to do it. He's going to miss. Gordo's not going to do anything, but not actually gets him. 1, 2. And that's actually going to kill the first tiger.
Okay.
So not. Good job. Took out a tiger.
Good job.
Oh, little kiddo.
Well done, boy.
All right, now the other two tigers are going to go. that's going to hit. It's like a 20.
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to go after you with a bite. And that is 1d10. 7 plus 3. So 10 damage to you.
Okay.
second tiger is going to go, and he's going to lunge and miss past you. So we'll say... He kind of goes over here.
Okay, this tiger right and I am going to repost.
Okay.
And I'm going to deal 8 damage straight to him.
Okay. Okay.
So as he kind of dives past me, I just kind of like move and just stab him.
Yeah, just stick him right in the stomach. He's not feeling great about that.
15?
15, that'll hit.
Okay. And on the one that I just hit, the one that missed me?
Yep.
Let's see what the second attack. Yeah, so that's 16 plus 6, so 22.
Okay, yep.
So I'm going to lunge at that one as well.
Okay.
So what is it, 3 or 4? It's 4. So 11, 8, and 2. So 13, 8 is 21.
And you're going for the wounded or the full health?
The wounded. Oh, I mean the full health one.
Okay, you kill the full health one.
Okay.
No, you took him out. Now you just have one that's wounded, and the rest of your crew is going to go for it. Oddly hits.
Nice job.
And he does 4 damage. And then Knot is going for it again. 14, he hits. He's going to do 6, 7, 8 damage, and he kills it.
Well done, Knot.
Yeah, he did good. All right, so you killed the tigers, but Slade has passed on.
Damn it. Well, at least we now have breakfast.
Yep. The tigers, not Slade, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Tiger meat's delicious. Slade would probably be a bit chewy.
Yep. You get everyone back together. What do you do from here?
I guess we'd search the island and see if there is actually any other inhabitants on it.
And I think Adley would speak up and be like, I think we should maybe try finding a way off of this thing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wade out into the water and wait for the sea turtles. And then I'm going to use the hair from my back to lasso them together.
Adley leans over to Gordo and says, I think he's losing it.
Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
No, that was good. As I was writing this, I was like, he's going to bring up sea turtles.
I know. I had to. So I guess we would just spend probably a few days cutting down timber and and building rope out of the whatever you build rope out of.
Mm-hmm.
And start fashioning ourselves a raft.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'd have to do another burial for Slade.
Yeah.
As well.
I'd say it takes about... You do a burial for him the next day, and then it probably takes another, like, 3 days for you guys to really put together a good idea on this raft.
And we've got tons of smoked meat from those lions, so that's great. Tigers. Bears. Whatever it was.
On day 7, you guys are able to put together a basic, pretty sturdy raft that Oddly feels really good about.
Okay.
Gordo, though, is really having some hard time with his leg and kind of how things have been going and surviving on the island. He's not doing nearly as good. And his grandson, really wanting to help and do something, he kind of decides to venture off into the forest on his own. Well,
that's never a good idea.
He kind of sneaks off. And he winds up missing for quite a while. Enough for you to really notice that he's been gone and trying to figure out where he is. So do you want to go searching for him?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and roll an investigation check.
11 plus... it's 12.
That'll do it. You kind of look around in the vicinity, and you see a tree. You see a tree that holds a special kind of fruit, one that has some healing properties. It's not super powerful, but usually it's able to kind of help some wounds and stave off infection and all that kind of stuff. You've kind of learned this on your journeys. But there is a branch that is broken on this tree, and at the bottom of the tree, you see Knot. He did not survive the fall.
Damn it. Okay.
So
is there anything else around me?
There's just a couple more trees, nothing really in the direct area.
How big is the tree?
It's probably like 40 feet tall. Okay.
I'm assuming the fruit's all the way at the top.
Yeah.
Did he manage to get any?
He didn't get any. It looked like he got about halfway up.
Okay. So I drag his body back to the beach.
Gordo sees it and he is just hysterical. Wrecked.
Yeah. Gordo, I'm so sorry. He found a tree with the yucca fruit. And I'm assuming he was bringing it back for your leg, and it looks like he fell.
And he goes, I see. And he goes, so he's a good boy. I just feel bad that I couldn't protect him.
We'll do a proper burial for him as well. He was a good sailor, and he was growing up to be a fine man.
He goes, thank you. And I'm assuming you guys hold a funeral service for him as well. So this island has really taken a toll on you and the people who have been loyal to you.
Yep.
You are moving on to day 13. You've been kind of stress testing the raft at this point to see if it's really going to hold up over a hopefully not long sea voyage. And hunger is becoming an issue, and you finish off the raft. Gordo is having a hard time with his health still. He kind of gets worse and worse every day, and now he's also dealing with the loss grief as well.
Yeah.
Audley comes up to you and he says, I think we can set out.
Do we have enough rations?
He's like, yeah, I've been able to get enough for the three of us.
Okay.
He's like, as long as we reach someone in a normal amount of time.
Well, you know, with my luck, that shouldn't be an issue.
Mm.
I hope.
Well, you're alive later.
Yeah, very true.
This is a backstory.
Audley, I've always trusted your intuition on these sorts of things. So if you think we're ready, then by all means, let's go.
Okay. You set sail.
Get off this fucking island.
You set sail with Gordo and Audley, and you are sailing out to the sea. And after a short while of paddling with your hands and kind of getting out further, the island disappears from view. Go ahead and roll a perception check.
6.
Okay. You see a ripple in the water at some point. Just while kind of looking around.
It's that goddamn dragon turtle.
You get to about day, 18. You've spent quite a couple days at sea floating around, hoping to come across something. I mean, you see ships all the time when you're sailing around, but at this moment, there just doesn't seem to be ships. You actually wind up seeing a ship in the distance, like way far away, but it's nothing that you can track down, and it just kind of disappears from view. So you've had kind of bad luck with that. But you have had a couple visitors. There have been a couple of sharks that have kind of bumped into your raft a little bit. They've kind of swam around curiously. And then recently, over the past day or so, they've started to kind of bump the raft. And Audley's kind of like, I don't know if this is such a good thing that's going on. You get some sleep. It seems like the sharks have kind of gone away. The next day, more waiting. But the sharks come back towards the end of the night, and one actually bumps into it, and you hear one of the boards that you're using start to crack. And Gordo speaks up and he says, I think I can finally help. And he says,
no.
He says, my blood has been helping these shards track us for miles. He's like, guys, I'm looking in real bad shape, and I'm sorry. I don't think my time is long anyway. And he's like, I've lost. Not. I've. Let me do this and help you.
How dark is it?
It's pretty dark. It's getting to be about midnight.
Can I see, like, can I see where the sharks, how many sharks are there in the water?
You see two.
Two?
You've seen two. You feel like you can nail that there's definitely two.
Okay, so I'm going to do something stupid, and hopefully it pays off, because we still have a campaign to run.
What do you do?
Erebus jumps in the water.
Okay. But as you get up to go, Gordo jumps.
Damn it.
He jumps in the water, and he's like, I'm not going to let you do that, Captain. And he's like, and he just starts paddling. He just starts going. And he goes, it's been an honor serving you. And he starts paddling out, and it's getting dark again. You stop hearing splashes. You hear a few thrashes, but damn nothing that sounds like him swimming.
I wrote down a lot of names during this, and almost all of them are crossed off, yep. Other than Dread and Oddly.
Mm-hmm. So around day 29 rolls around, and you guys, you and Oddly, are in some rough shape. You have been out at sea in the sun. You've been able to have some rations, but those are getting low. He was like, I really didn't think we'd be out this long. But you see a ship in the distance, and it looks like it is coming your way.
Paddling furiously towards it.
Okay. Why don't you do a strength check?
So plus my modifier or my
actually save? A constitution check.
I guess that would make more sense because I'm probably dog tired, and that is a critical fail.
Okay, you
these dice.
You start to
it's like the third get one up of the night.
And you kind of collapse, and Oddly decides to help, and with help, you both kind of prop each other up, and you start yelling as loud as you can and waving your arms around. And it looks like the ship course corrects and starts coming towards your raft. They pull up alongside you, and a few people throw some rope down. And as you kind of hold on to it, a crew is pulling you up. This looks like a, not necessarily like a military ship, but this thing is well run with uniforms, and it looks very official, but it doesn't look like it's like, police, you're arrested.
Okay.
As they bring you up, people take out swords and point them at you, and they kind of knock you down to your knees, and a captain walks up and he says, I'm Captain Chadwell. Who are you? Where are you from?
Sorry if I could just get some water real quick. I'm quite parched.
He kind of looks at you and he's like, "Someone fetch water," and they bring water for you and Oddly.
It's me time to think of a name. my name is Vex, and I'm a merchant sailor, and we unfortunately got caught in a storm. Quite some time ago, and we lost our ship, and this is this sorry looking gentleman sitting next to me is what's left of my crew.
And he goes, I see. And he's like, okay, well, look, we are basically all full here. We only have a limited ration for the crew that is here. We may be able to spare something for one person, but we can't lug around two people. He says, so one of you will be able to come with me, the other, gotta go over the side. And he's like, so, which one of you will it be? I'll give you a moment to decide. And he kind of, walks, and Oddly kind of walks over with you.
Would you be willing to trade I do have some gold and some trinkets still on me. Would you be willing to would those be able to cover the expense of for both of us?
He goes, look, I can't eat money. That's not something I can do. He's like, to get to the next port, we only have so much to get there.
How far are we from port?
Oddly comes over and puts his hand on you.
Oddly, goddammit.
And he goes, in the face of a mutiny, 4 people lost their lives to stand up for you. And he goes, I would be honored to be the 5th. We will all have sacrificed for nothing if you do not get out there and find Dredd and make him pay. And he looks at you and he pats his hand on your shoulder and he goes, reclaim what is yours.
Damn it, Audley.
And he...
I love you.
He salutes you and goes, Captain. And he jumps off into the water. And you hear a splash. And you can kind of see him kind of treading water for quite a while. And then you just lose sight of him. The captain says, I see there was indeed a decision. Okay, you will need to help maintain cleanliness and hoist the sails. Please make yourself useful and you will find safe passage at the next port.
Where exactly are we headed?
He says that you guys are heading to Turncliff, which is on the kind of the other side that you're moving over towards. And it's kind of by the Kingdom of Jortun. And they kind of take you over in that area, which is on the left side of the main continent. Now, at this point, now that you've hit land, what would you start doing? Are you starting your rebranding to build up a crew, go out, find Dredd?
I think first and foremost, I will be looking for... For one, I've got money tucked away in a few different places, which I'm going to go get. And then I'm going to build myself a small crew.
Mm.
Nothing large and nothing with my name in it so far. Mm. I'm going to keep the name of Vex.
Okay.
I'm going to start kind of setting up kind of a trap, so to speak, for Dredd.
Okay. To be able to do this, you're going to need funds, correct?
Yes. Okay. Lots of funds. This is not something that's going to be an easy venture.
Okay. So you decide to... kind of pick up some money from here and there, finding different ways of kind of borrowing money from people.
Which I'm very good at.
Without them knowing.
Yes.
So...
I just leave IOUs.
You've started doing little pieces here and there. You've talked to a few people to kind of help you on a few of these under this name Vex. You're doing this for a while, but then you hear tell of a whale. A very big hit. And you hear about a ship called the Sea Carriage. It's making a huge shipment back over to Turncliff. You've kind of jumped from island to island. You think there are some valuables that you can swipe on board. They are picking up supplies from Gold Post. So your crew kind of recommends that, hey, if we hide under these docks, we should be able to jump up onto the ship. You guys have kind of talked and it looks like one person would be able to do this a lot better than the others. And obviously with your talents, you were elected to do this.
Of course.
So you, figure out where it's going to stop at Gold Post since, you know, very rich neighborhood. You've visited it before. so whatever they're picking up has got to be good.
Okay.
So you're waiting under a dock, and the ship pulls up to the dock. So do you just climb up on the outside of it? What's your idea for getting in there?
So now they've already loaded valuables on it.
They're doing it right now from Gold Post.
How big is the ship?
It's a seafaring ship. It's pretty big.
How big is my crew?
You've recruited probably like 8 people right now.
Okay.
Your whole plan at this point that they've talked about and recommended to you is just kind of swiping some shit.
Okay.
Like there may be some really nice valuables that'll be easy to carry off.
So I'm actually going to go up like the back side of the ship, basically like where the captain's quarters would be.
Okay.
And basically get right up onto either if there's a window that I can go through into the captain's quarters, or just straight up onto the
roll the stealth check.
Well, that's my strong suit, don't you know? Actually, it's not bad.
Nice.
That's pretty bad, though. A 9.
Oh. Not great. But as you're going up the side of this, you see kind of a window for the captain's quarters. And kind of off to the bottom, just below the captain's quarters, there's another kind of window that looks into a storage area.
I'm going to go in there. Ship.
You're going to go in there?
Yep.
Okay, so you go into... you go into the storage area and you see a massive stack of crates. You kind of go around, you see a massive area, and on the front of it, it says, to Turncliff. And underneath it says, forward to Bank of Turncliff. And on these boxes, you see information for bank bags, loan slips, all the stuff that would go into storage at the bank or into the vault at the bank. Nothing that's necessarily money.
Okay.
These crates look pretty big. Like you may be able to fit into some of them, but they also seem pretty stacked with stuff. So, you have a couple options here. You can look throughout the rest of the ship for valuables with your stealth check. It's not great.
No.
Or, you could possibly find your way into the Turncliff Bank.
Okay.
They're not waiting for you anywhere, your crew. They just know that you're doing this mission on your own. You're kind of lone wolfing it.
Can I re-roll for stealth since I climbed through a window?
Roll a perception check. 9
That's a 9. I'm +3.
That's good enough. I mean, you're looking at boxes. The front of these crates, they're all on pallets and a big block of boxes, and you can see a crate that says money lock boxes. One that says gold loan sheets, one that says receipts. You look around some more, and there's one thing that catches your eye. And it's about midway back. And it looks like it's also going to this bank. And man, it is a beautiful, large, ornate chest. It's custom made.
Okay.
Usually there are standard sizes for chests, which are like a 24.
Okay.
But this is a rare 36 model, much larger than the standard.
It's a beautiful chest.
The 24s are in mass production. So it definitely stands out to you. It is made by Dwarven Delivers. So they call them 36 double D's at those chests because it's just a short route. That's what they call them in woodworking circles. On the right handle, you see a key tied with a rope on it. And as you're kind of looking at this, you hear footsteps coming down.
I'm jumping in that chest.
Okay.
Baby.
So you cut off the key.
It's head first. And
you unlock it
into
and
it.
You go into the chest. Okay.
Yep.
As you go in and it closes, you look out through the keyhole, and you can see a couple of feet pass by. And then they stop, and it comes back, and you see an arm bend down, and it picks up the key. So it looks like when you're diving into the chest to hide, the key fell out of your pocket or out of your hand, wherever you were holding it. And he goes, oh, that shouldn't be like that. And he sticks it in and he locks the chest. And he kind of ties it back up onto the handle. And they're like, oh, it's always good to have a key for a chest, blah, blah, blah. And kind of walks off. So you're now locked in this thing.
Okay.
And as the ship is going, it stops at Turncliffe. And so they go down to get their deliveries. But the boxes that said Turncliffe are on actually a separate pallet. So what you don't see is that they pull these off in a way, and they take them off to ship them. And your chest that you're hiding in is on a separate pallet. And when they pulled it away, it revealed a sign that says deliver to Hagwarts.
Can I see that through the keyhole?
You can't see that through the keyhole. Damn. You're kind of asleep. I'd say right about now your narcolepsy kicks in.
Okay. So I'm hibernating at this point.
Basically.
My dragon instincts are kicking in and I'm hibernating.
You're just waiting to figure out what's going to happen.
But I don't shit and piss myself in this box that I'm sitting in.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And that's where we're going to end your story.
Fan-fucking-tastic. I love it.